Hello, and welcome to the Tech Access Weekly Democast for December 17th, 2009. Our studio. Hello, everyone. Welcome to yet another Tech Access Weekly Democast. A lot of you have been requesting for us to do a review of our audio setup and let you know how we record our podcasts. It's changed recently, so we did think it would be a good idea to point out exactly what we have been doing differently. And Rodney is here, and he'll actually be doing most of the talking because he can read the descriptions, etc., a little better than I can from the computer. We have now a mixer by Mackie and a couple of microphones by Shure.
And that pretty much sums it up, so we will sign off. Thank you for listening.
When we first started, we didn't have any of these things. Actually, I first started on Blind Cool Tech doing podcasts a couple years ago, and I had an Olympus digital recorder and was using that, and I was very dissatisfied with that. I always felt like I was talking in a bucket. And also, the problem was that I could not find a way to get JAWS on my computer into the Olympus, so it sounded like professional. And that was a drawback for me, too, since I like very good quality sound and expect it of myself, even when I can't deliver it. So then we decided we would do a podcast. We've been playing with the idea for a while, and we didn't know how we would proceed. We knew we would use Goldwave as our sound editor, because we didn't really need anything fancy, and it does a very decent job.
And it's only about $55.
Yeah, that too. So we got that straightened out, and I had been using that for a while and was pretty proficient at it. But we didn't know how we would coordinate the discussions between both of us, since we didn't have any kind of a mixer, or, you know, we both had to be at our computers, so what were we going to do?
And she's a control freak.
Me? Oh, well, yeah. I guess the fact that I've been talking this whole time kind of indicates that. And we both have our computers in different rooms, and so we were just kind of confused. What would we do? Well, we decided we would try Skype. So we had CallGraph, which is a free Skype recording utility, and tried that. And it worked okay, sort of, except I could never get the volume levels right. So after being excessively irritated...
Well, and too, the latency between...
Yeah.
Participants on a Skype call causes irritations, especially if you're sitting in two rooms that are close to each other, so you can sort of hear each other through the door and over Skype, so you're kind of hearing the delay.
You kind of hear each other in double for part of the time.
So it's not the best way, it's the freest way.
Right, exactly. So, Rodney can take over at this point, because he was the one doing most of the research on mixers. I'd been wanting a mixer for a long time, and this just seemed the perfect opportunity to get one, seeing as how Black Friday was coming up.
So we started looking around for mixers and how to do a podcast over the last couple of months. So seeing as how we listened to a lot of podcasts, we decided that we wanted to try and get a little bit better sound quality and a better setup going. We started researching the people that we listen to, which basically would be CNET, Twit Live with Leo Laporte, and some other folks. And Leo Laporte, who basically is a podcasting king with his twit.tv network of podcasts, he uses a Mackie brand mixer, MACKIE. So I started looking at that brand of mixer because I wasn't really into looking for a USB mixer.
So we didn't want that.
Yeah, so we went with a analog mixer from Mackie.
What are the benefits of doing that over USB?
Well, the benefit over USB is the fact that you can carry this mixer anywhere. Mm-hmm. You do not have to have a computer connected in order to do recordings. Mm-hmm. And supposedly you will get a little bit better sound quality coming from the mixer because of less chance of computer noise.
Was there something about things on USB mixers breaking or something?
Well, I had heard... Tom Merritt with CNET, he does a podcast called East Meets West with Roger Chang of Revision 3, and they were using a Behringer mixer, And apparently some of the cables that you have to connect to the Behringer are proprietary, meaning that they have to be Behringer brand. And they had a couple of cables break, and it just sort of ticked them off. I think they ended up going with an Alexis mixer. But anyway, it has its advantages over a USB, just because a computer is noisy inside, and if you're trying to record and get good quality, you're going to get a little bit of a noise effect or a hum that I think you've run into before.
Yeah.
So we ended up with the Mackie 1202 VLZ3 mixer, which is a compact mixer. It's about 1 foot square and about 3 inches thick. It is a steel chassis with numerous inputs upon inputs.
And we wanted a big mixer. In other words, we wanted a good many channels because we didn't know what we would end up putting into here. We knew, of course, there'd be two microphones or two of us, but what other kinds of things would we want? So we got a mixer with the capability of, I believe there's a way to put a telephone in here if we didn't want to put a landline in here, which we wouldn't because, well, we don't have a landline, but at least at this stage. But there's also a way to run Skype through the mixer and many different inputs for various things.
Yes, and the Mackie line of mixers have multiple different varieties. I believe there is an inexpensive mixer that is $100. It has four channels, and then an eight channel mixer that is $200. And then this 12 channel mixer that we have actually runs for about $300 at places like Amazon or Sweetwater.com. And on Black Friday, I ran into a deal through Bing.com where their cashback system was offering, it was either 6 or 10%. No, actually, it was 15% off of Overstock.com. And I went to Overstock.com. They had the Mackie mixer for $260. And then with the discount through Bing's cashback system, if we actually get that when it comes out, comes back in 2 months, with that discount, it's going to end up coming out to about $210. So it was kind of a no-brainer to go with 12 channels instead of eight or four. This mixer also has two auxiliary input and send channels so that you can connect to, say, a computer. You can bring in Skype and send the sound from the mixer back to the person on Skype, and you're actually able to turn off the auxiliary sound going, the auxiliary channel going back to the person on Skype, because if you try and do it manually, the person on Skype starts hearing themselves back, and that just doesn't quite work too well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad echo, and this is called mix minus. So that you're mixing everyone together, but then you're minusing out the channel that you do not want going back to them.
Right.
So, a little more about the mixer. On the back is a power plug, a fuse port. It has a power switch. It also has a phantom power. If you were to choose a condenser mic, you would need phantom power in order to power the actual microphone. Then it has a whole line of other outputs so that you can run it to, say, a control room or other audio devices.
I don't really understand how all those work yet.
Yeah, it's something that a audio professional probably understands, but I'm just a computer programmer. I don't know a thing about it. But anyway, going to the top of the mixer, there's a lot of knobs, a lot of switches. This mixer has four XLR inputs, which are your microphone inputs. It's a three-prong, kind of a big clunky metal plug. There are preamps on those four channels. There's also 1/4-inch connectors so that you could use those same connections for, say, musical instruments. And on those, you can also set the gain, which is your sensitivity for each channel, if I don't hit the buttons while we're recording.
Yes.
Then you run into a lot of buttons going down the mixer from top to bottom coming towards you. There's the auxiliary one, auxiliary two channels. Then you have three equalizer settings for the low, medium, and high. And then you have a pan, which will shift you from left channel to right channel, as I just do that for the fun of it.
Won't come through on the Olympus, though, dear.
No, probably not, but hey.
It was fun to hear. Insert edit. Gee, the pan actually did come through from the Olympus. End of edit.
Yes.
And I should point out that the knobs for the gain and the equalizer and the pan and the level are knobs. They're not just buttons that you press. They're turny knobs.
Yeah, and they do have a center lock, so you do know where the actual balanced sound is.
Mm-hmm.
Then each channel is able to be muted. There's also by a button, a big rectangular button, and then there is a smaller button that will actually allow you to tune the settings for those four main inputs individually before you start recording. Now, the channels that go from 5 to 12 are on dual banks. So input 5 and 6 are together, 7 and 8 are together, 9 and 10, 11 and 12. These are mono inputs unless you connect one input, say a computer input, to both channels. So if you take a stereo input like a computer, you plug it into 5 and 6, that takes up that whole channel so that you can get stereo output. Then you can control the auxiliary settings. You can control equalizer, pan, and actually output your actual output levels for each one of those banks. There are buttons for the main mix, so that everything is together. There is a way that you can actually break out channels 3 and 4 into a separate mix. Not sure how to do that yet.
What would you want to do that for?
I'm not really sure.
And why just 3 and 4? But I guess we'll figure that out at some point.
I guess it's because you can put inputs 1 and 2 together, and then you can pull out 3 and 4 separately for some reason. I'm not sure. Not the audio guy. There's also a tape in and tape out so that you can actually record what you are recording to a tape recorder, or we are currently doing it to an Olympus 50?
DS50.
Mm-hmm. And the tape in would actually allow you to run a cable from the Olympus back into the mixer so that you can hear it in your headphones. There is a 1/4-inch headphone jack that you can split. We're splitting it right now with two sets of headphones.
So you can hear yourselves in the mixer.
Yeah, so I'm talking, Aaron can hear me, Aaron's talking, I can hear her with headphones on. And then there are two knobs that control the level of the entire mix, and then there is one knob that actually controls the volume that we hear through our headphones.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a nutshell, there's a lot of buttons, a lot of switches.
A lot of knobs.
A lot of inputs. My goal is to get it so that we can actually have a Skype person on Skype and bring them into the conversation and have them actually be able to participate in the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I haven't got quite all the cables and connections worked out to get that going, but hopefully soon.
Let's talk about the cables we have and how you figured out what you would need or tried to. You ordered them from Sweetwater, if I remember correctly.
Yes, lovey. I went to Sweetwater.
And I could have picked them up on my way back from Indiana over Thanksgiving because Sweetwater is in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yes. I basically sat with the PDF for the Mackie 1202 mixer and tried to figure out, okay, if I want to bring in the computer, I'm going to need a stereo cable with certain inputs. And if I'm going to connect, say, the Olympus or Victor Reader Stream. I'm going to need something else to connect that. I'm going to need RCA cables to 1/4 inch, 1/8 inch connectors, because that's what your sound card is and your Victor and Olympus inputs are. It basically was a time trying to figure that out because I really didn't have anybody to refer to. So I made a pretty good guess. I ended up with a couple cables that I'm not quite sure what to use them for yet, but I know there's an input for it. So we're probably going to end up spending a little bit more money to try and get what we need in order to get the Skype connection going.
How was the, describe the Sweetwater experience, because that was very unique.
Well, the Sweetwater experience is one-on-one consultation for the most part. You go to their website, you fill your cart with odds and ends that you're looking to purchase, and then I don't know whether it's just if you pass a certain dollar point or what, or whether it's because I was a first-time buyer. It said to call, or if you submitted your purchase order, a Sweetwater assistant would actually contact you about your order. So I just went ahead and submitted. Next thing I know, someone's calling me on Skype, because we have a Skype out number. And kind of strange, because it was a 260 area code here in the States, and it was the same place where Aaron was at Thanksgiving. So talked to a guy named Tony. He was very knowledgeable, helpful, went over what I had purchased and everything. And it sounded like we had pretty much everything that we needed as far as like headphone splitters, so that you can split one headphone jack into two, that kind of thing. So it was quite interesting. And they ship really quickly. I ordered everything on a Saturday. Everything had arrived from Sweetwater on Wednesday, the following Wednesday. And the mixer I ordered on Friday afternoon, which was, quote, Black Friday, from Overstock.com. That came on that same Wednesday in a nice box weighing about 6, 7, 8 pounds.
Heavy box. Very cold mixer inside.
Yes, very cold mixer. It was chilly around here.
So that leaves us open to talk about the microphones, because we haven't even touched on those yet.
Yeah. So in doing research, kept listening to other podcasts. I try to watch TwitLive as much as possible to sort of catch the in-between show discussions. And Leo Laporte sends Shure microphones to his other podcasters for their in-house, in-home setups. So he uses the SM58s, and that is what I decided to go with, was the classic microphone SM58s. They're about $100 on Amazon. Currently, there is a kit that you can buy that has the SM58 classic microphone without a on-off switch. We decided to go that route because we did not want to take a chance on something breaking like a switch and then the microphone's dead. So these microphones that we're using do not have an on-off switch. With the kit that I ordered for, I believe it's $120 currently with a Black Friday discount, it ended up coming out to less than $110, something like that.
A piece.
The kit comes with a 20-foot XLR cable. It also comes with a windscreen so that you can stop having the pop.
The spit filter.
Yeah, the sort of spit filter. So that fits over the, it's a foam.
It's a big foam.
Foam fluffy. Round dome that fits over the the metal head of the microphone, which that works pretty well. That's normally $6 by itself. And then it also came with a on-stage Euroboom SM7701 microphone stand. This is a tripod stand that will raise up to about 5 feet tall, and it stretches out probably 30 inches or so.
I still haven't quite figured out how to do everything with it.
Yes, it'll.
I'm pretty helpless.
It'll raise, lower, tilt up, down, and everything. It comes with a microphone holder, which is plastic. The entire stand itself is metal. Mm-hmm. It's very sturdy. Surprised me.
And the microphones themselves are metal, too.
Yes, at the quality. And the microphones come with a little pouch that you can carry them in. And the cable is a nice thick cable with metal connectors. So that's good.
Talk about the little desk tripod thingies that just kind of thrown in there.
And when I was on Amazon, there was a quick lock tripod desk microphone holder. It's solid metal. It has a plastic holder, and it'll raise up to about 2 feet in height. This is usually a $16 value. I think it was like $8 or something because of the Black Friday. So I went ahead and ordered that separately so that if we decide to try and hook the microphones up to the computer, we'll have something to sit it on the desk. So in the kit itself was the SM58 microphone, the 20-foot XLR cable, the Euroboom on-stage microphone stand, and a windscreen pop filter. So all of that is typically $120. And if you were to purchase them separately, they would be about $150 because an XLR cable is around $20, and then the microphone stand's $20, and then the pop filter would be $6.
I'd also like to point out that these microphones cannot be used with a computer unless you purchase an XLR to USB converter cable for that purpose.
And I will say I'm very impressed with these microphones. They remind me a lot of the ones that I used to use at church when I would sing in church in high school. They're very big and rugged. And they're not, I think they're dynamic microphones, but they're not omnidirectional. So you have to pretty much be talking into the microphone in order to be heard adequately.
Yes, they are dynamic microphones, and they do not pick up a lot of room noise.
They really don't. They're very good.
If you listen to a couple of our previous podcasts where we came up with this setup and started recording with it, sound quality wasn't quite as good. Hopefully this time it's a little better. We found a noise cancellation setting in the Olympus DS50 that actually has taken out a lot of the hum that we were hearing.
Yeah, there was a hiss. And I don't know if there are settings on the mixer that will take that out of themselves if we set it, you know, if there was a way to set it correctly so that some of the hiss would go away. But I realized that there was no noise cancellation enabled on the Olympus, and that did take out some of the hiss. But even without the noise cancellation, the hiss wasn't terrible. It was somewhat like listening to a cassette tape.
Yeah.
What you would hear when you listen to a cassette tape.
And we haven't really tried recording into the computer yet. That'll be another challenge to try and do.
Yeah.
But you were able to do a podcast on holiday shopping last week. Mm-hmm. You were actually able to feed Jaws from your computer in.
Well, I fed Jaws from the computer in, but I wasn't recording on the computer. I was still recording on the Olympus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that came out pretty good as far as sound quality.
It seemed to. And even the other day, we still are going to be using editing and effects in some programs to do some editing. The other day, we really screwed up the podcast, and I had to doctor it a lot with Goldwave to get... We messed up the gain settings as we're trying to fool with this and figure this out. And I had to fool with the levels and change the volume and use a lot of noise cancellation and found a program called Levelator that will help level volumes in vocal recordings, voice recordings, I should say. And that I had very impressive results with that. I was very pleased. So we do still have things to fall back on if we end up having problems with the mixer, but this takes out a lot of work for us, especially for me when doing the editing.
And the advantage to actually not using Skype is we can actually almost have a normal conversation.
Right. It was difficult with Skype because you couldn't have any visual cues when I would stop talking. And I heard you talking, but then, you know, the delay would get in the way, and we wouldn't really know when the other was done.
Yeah, so that's an okay way to do a podcast, but it's not the best in the world. Plus, CallGraph is not really a great solution for recording Skype conversations.
There are recorders out there, Skype recorders, that may be better, and probably are better. They cost money, and I wasn't really willing to spend money on it if I don't really need to record Skype calls in general. And I was about to buy a mixer and certain cables to feed Skype into it anyway. I didn't feel that I needed to spend some money to buy a program that I probably would use only once in a while.
Yep. So I think that pretty much covers our podcast setting process. So again, we had the microphone kit. We had the Mackie 1202 VLZ3 mixer, which is a compact mixer. The VLZ3 802 is an 8-channel mixer, and it's a little bit smaller than this if you're worried about that. And the 402 is even yet smaller.
So I think you're right. I think that's the end. I hope everyone's enjoyed this. If you got any questions, feel free to email us or post a comment on the website or send us a Twitter, and we'll get back to you when we can.
And you can reach us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. If you follow that Twitter account, we'll try and post when new episodes pop up. Occasionally we do try to put out a special edition, a demo cast, kind of like this, midweek if possible, and you can keep on the lookout for that.
Thanks for listening.
To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com, or you may leave a voice message at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. Please visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.